Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 42 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've made. We're asking and praying, oh God, that you'll invade us with your presence and you'll invade us with who you are. And we're asking and praying, oh God, that you can have a place to just to blow out. And we want this church to be a place that it is known that you reside in the hearts of your people here. Lord God, in our frailty and in our weaknesses and in our inabilities, dear God, we give them all to you that you might make this a supernatural day, a supernatural event, that we might encounter your truth and your revelation. We ask and pray, oh God, that as your revelation comes to us today, that we would be a teachable people of your spirit. Dear God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The prophetic, unlocking the prophetic. We've been talking for the last few weeks on shifting of atmospheres. I hope that you're considering that we're not talking about a year from now. We're talking about now. That the atmospheres are shifting, that the atmospheres are changing. I hope that we're learning that we are a catalyst in this spiritual atmospheric change, that we are doing it deliberately and on purpose to encounter God. I believe that the most boring place on the planet would be Sunday morning in a church that is void of God's Spirit. What a boring place. But there again, on the other hand, what more exciting place on the planet could it be with the Spirit of God with His people? Wow. So we are taking a gamble, perhaps taking a chance. It could be the worst place you've ever been or the best. I'm going for broke. How about you?
Yes.
That this could be the best place on the planet. So as we're seeing these atmospheres shift and change, we find that we are part of this atmospheric change, this spiritual atmospheric change. As a prophetic people, our hope is that we have our eyes on things that are eternal more than that is natural. I'm not saying we don't have our eyes on some natural things, but you don't have but so much capacity to live in a 24-hour day. You got so much capacity. And your life is the spiritual part of you that speaks into these capacities is the term passion. You know the movie that called The Passion of Christ. You remember that? Who was it directed that? Mel Gibson. The Passion of Christ. Why was that named The Passion of Christ? Why do we use that terminology, passion, the passion of Christ? It is because passion is the spiritual avenue in which you as an individual spend your currency of the Spirit. It's called passion. Jesus Christ spent all of His passion in one moment upon the cross. He spent all of His passion. It's called the Passion of Christ. Why? It's because passion is the spiritual avenue in which the power of the kingdom is spent. An example, homosexuality is nothing but misdirected passion. Lust, misdirected passion. Lying, misdirected passion. We soon discover that all of sin is nothing more than misdirected passion. If passion be the avenue of the power of the Spirit of God, do you not think we need to be careful with how our passions are spent? A passion is what you believe in. A passion is what you spend your time in. But also, passion is the spiritual avenue in which the power of the kingdom of God is being spent. Now, please consider what I'm going to say. Satan has been defeated. He's pretty much powerless. So, his only course of operation is deception. So he will use the passion of mankind in which to carry on his exploits. Bible calls it sin. So we find that sin to us are the exploits of the dark side. Are you following with me on this? So it gives us a greater understanding on, we think that sin is good for a season, and it is, it feels that way to our soul, because that is the bait that the dark side is giving us, so that it has some passion wherewith to spend. Does sin take on a greater meaning? It's the avenue that the power of the Spirit can be spent. Misdirected passion. It's passion just the same. Now, with that in mind, I want us to see that as we're shifting atmospheres, that how as we shift our, we realize our passions. That's the reason sin has such a strong draw to it. Because it's the dark side is wanting you to be passionate about your sin. He's wanting you to spend that currency, that anointing, if you will. He's wanting you to spend that anointing in a misdirected passion. Now, we're looking for our passions to be directed by God. Wow. The Holy Spirit can direct our passion. I can be passionate about the things of God. I can be, my passions can be directed and spent. It is very healthy to have a passion to listen online, come together as a congregation. It is a healthy thing to direct your passion in learning about God. When we are spending our passions, you say, well, Alan, what about our music? Well, you can listen to any music you want to. I enjoy all kinds of music. But for sure, my passion needs to be directed towards a music that contains things that helps me spend my passion for the things of God. You can say, well, Alan, don't you like old 70s and 80s rock and roll? Yeah, I do. I was growing up with it. But what happens with those passions when I like to listen to it, I'll turn it on occasionally. It's because I remember back. I remember when. Identify with that. I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but I would be to God that I would identify more with the things of the kingdom of heaven than I would 70s and 80s. It's just a directing of passion. Why is that important? If you want to see the kingdom of God move upon the earth, the atmosphere must change. It must change around you, and it must change in you. As our passions change, you have to understand that you must come to terms with yourself, and you need to be able to say to yourself, self, look at yourself real good, because a year from now we will not know each other. Very important.
Wow.
Very important.
Wow.
That we can look at ourselves and that we could be a stranger a year from now. Why? Because our passions are changing. We're moving. We're heading somewhere. So as we see these atmospheres shifting, I've sent out this little parable I call, or proverb. this week. Someone who craves human attention does not know who they are.
Come on.
Now, here's what I mean by that. I got a little backlash on this one, said, well, Alan, I thought we were... I could have said this, someone who constantly craves human attention. I could have said it that way, but there's not much difference.
No.
Craving's craving. When you're craving human attention, it's because you do not know who you are. You can say, well, Alan, that's not right. Listen, most people, when you desire human attention, they want a pat on the back, a pat on the head. And I'm not against encouraging people and saying they did a good job. I'm not. I'm talking about people who crave the attention, human attention. And craving human attention, when you do that, you're allowing other people to tell you who you are. You see, I know people that are working different jobs because they're good in that area. People brag on them all the time, pat them on the back. They're really fabulous in that area. They get all of their human attention because they are successful in that area, and the person hates being there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Feel that? And it's because that's where they get the human attention, and that human attention in that area tells them who they are. And that's not who they are. That is not who they are. So you got to be careful with human attention. Because a lot of times human attention is a way of manipulating and creating you into another person.
Jesus, come on, preach.
That's right. Scary, isn't it? A little bit scary. Now, there again, I'm not against saying somebody did a good job. As children, as people are developing, you need to be told that. But sooner or later, we got to grow up, don't you think? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, we got to say, this is who I am in Christ.
That's right.
This is who I am. Listen, who I am in Christ says I have a certain authority in the heavenlies, and what I say goes. That's right. What I say goes. Because I know who I am in Christ. So we tell the dark places what for. You say, well, Alan, we've got to be careful speaking against darkness. Well, that doesn't say that in my Bible.
That's right. Come on.
Doesn't say that. You say, well, Alan, that's a little scary. Well, I know it's a little scary, but it's the truth. I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You see, if you get the attention of man, you tend not to have the attention of God. Usually, if you have the attention of God, you offend man. Can you see why I say someone who craves human attention does not know who they are? Does that bring you some revelation?
Yes.
So we want to be bold. We want to move forward. We want to know who we are in Christ. And that's a bold people because we know who we are and we're not being defined by someone else. Someone else's opinion of you does not create who you are. Wow. What did I just say? Someone's opinion of you does not create who you are. It doesn't. You see, if you're craving human attention, you're going by who somebody says you are. And let me tell you something else. If you're constantly telling somebody who you think they are, you are a manipulator. Say thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
If you're constantly going around thinking you know who everybody's supposed to be and how they're supposed to be and acting, and you're constantly got this mission of telling everybody who they are, uh-oh. Wake up, somebody.
There you go.
Quit it. Because you will find people that want to hear who they are when they need to find out who they are in Christ Jesus. We need a bold church. We need a church that knows who they are. Now, so why do we want to shift that type atmosphere? In shifting atmospheres, the last few weeks, we went over this, that we have an anticipation shift. The second thing we learned a few weeks ago is we have a gathering atmospheric shift. In other words, we learned that that we are to have one foot in the heavens and one foot on the earth. And we're in the gathering business. We are to gather in that's in heaven and that's on the earth. And we are this conduit between heaven and earth. Now, come on, that's who you are, right?
Yes.
That's who the Bible says. That's who God says you are.
Jesus.
That's not me. That's Bible. You can go back the last couple of weeks and catch up if you didn't get that. That's who you are. You are a creation that's supposed to be anticipating the coming of Christ.
Jesus.
That's who you are. You are to be a people that's in the gathering business, that's in the heavens and that's on the earth.
Yes.
That is who you are. I don't care what anybody says.
Jesus.
I want to tell you something. You can't anticipate the kingdom of God on the earth wrong.
Jesus. Right.
You can't do it wrong.
Right.
You can't do it wrong gathering that's in heaven and on earth. You can't. There's not a wrong way to do it.
Jesus.
You do it the way you do it. Just do it. Can't do it wrong. Did you get it?
Yes, got it.
Relationship atmosphere shift. What that teaching was about was your relationship with the heavenlies. Can't do it wrong. Just do it. Well, I don't see it quite like it. Just do it.
Yes.
That's all. Just do it. Fourth thing, heavenly places atmospheric shift. You got to see yourself. What's changing your atmosphere of the spirit is you start seeing more from a heavenly perspective than an earthly. See, here's the way it works. If you build from the earthly up, it lasts for a season. In other words, if you build from the earth up, it's going to be destroyed sometime or another. It's got its limits. But if you build from heaven down, it lasts for eternity. So you got to have this heavenly perspective. Everything we're building is from the heavens down. Change your perspective. That's eternal things. That's who you are. You're created to do that. We're not created to build. We can achieve earthly accomplishments. Nothing wrong with achieving a few. We can do that. I'm all for it. But to do that and your primary not be from the heavens down, your earthly is just futile. That's all.
Right.
Now, there is something out there in the heavenly atmospheres. There's something out here in the second heaven that opposes what God's doing. Now, consider this. There's something out here that is opposing what God's doing. Who is to make known God's wisdom to the heavenly places? Now, this is important. This is really important. I'm trying to... The church of Jesus Christ is to be bold. Know who they are. Not timid. Not laid back, not cowered down. The church of Jesus Christ is to be bold. If we are going to be bold with the truth and know who we are, that means, according to Ephesians 3:10, the church will, the church speaks into these heavenly places. If you have dedication and you're willing to give it hard work. Now, I want to mention this. Christianity in the kingdom of heaven is not for a bunch of pansies, so to speak. And I sell potty mix for people to grow pansies in, so I'm not against pansies.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just saying, the kingdom of God is hard work. I've made this statement before when I'm mentoring people. It takes a lot of work to make a gallon of milk, and y'all have heard me say that.
Yeah.
When you pick up a gallon of milk off the shelf, you have no idea that me and two others had to be at the barn at 3:00 this morning. We were feeding cows, milking cows. The cows got out, had to get them up, had three cows, had calves. It takes a lot of work. And listen, at 3 o'clock in the morning, this is the hard part. Nobody's happy to be there. The only happy people is the cows themselves. They're happy. But all humans are not happy. So they're there. It takes a lot of work to make a gallon of milk. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't even look like it's worth it. But if a young child somewhere is drinking a gallon of milk or has got some powdered milk in India or a country that's starving, and they get that powdered milk and they make them a glass of milk, if it gives them life,
yeah.
Point being, anything that gives life requires a lot of hard work.
Yes.
So as a people of the supernatural, that doesn't mean we don't do nothing and God supernaturally does everything. If you want to operate in the kingdom of God, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes all of who you are and all you got. Salvation's free and everything else costs you.
Wow.
That's right. It's hard work.
Come on, man. Now, that's good.
Now you understand why when you come to church and come under attack from these heavenly places, it is to stop us from changing the atmosphere. It's all about the spiritual atmosphere. Have you not noticed when you got born again and started following God and came to church and just all of a sudden things got worse? And you're like, God, how are we going to invite people in on this show? Huh? Right? It gets worse. It gets all these tests and trials and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's because the enemy says, okay, now you're a threat. Now you're a threat. You're one of these that can bring heaven to the earth people, aren't you? Now you're a total spiritual threat. So you got two people here trying to create atmosphere. It's the dark side and you. If you lay back and do nothing about the atmosphere, you're going to have an atmosphere. It's up to you who is going to produce the atmosphere. When we change atmosphere, you're going against the dark side, is my point. Now, to change atmosphere, you must be who you came here to be. I could stop right there and the Holy Ghost should just shoot all kinds of revelation through you. To change atmosphere, you must be who you came here to be. I've heard this said before, and I know it's true, but it's hard to gather my brain around it, is if I was the only person that got born again, Jesus would have died for me. Have you heard that before? I mean, we know it's true. Now, it's hard for me to fathom that truth, right? But if I was the only person, Jesus would have died for me. The question is, he died for me so I would be who I came here to be. So am I living a life worth dying for? Am I being a threat to the kingdom of darkness? That's who I came here to be. You know, Desert Storm. What was that general's name? Schwarzkopf. Desert Storm, I think that battle lasted, 4 or 5 days or something? Or 7 or 6, it wasn't long. The Desert Storm actually lasted, and that first day or two, it was pretty much over. But it still played out more days, and there were people injured and hurt, and the battle was still there. But they already knew the outcome. It's kind of like D-Day. Once D-Day hit, the war was pretty much over, but there was a lot of fighting afterwards. Now listen, D-Day was the cross of Christ. Battle's already been won. We're living in aftermath. Okay? We're in the in-between time. God said, I'm going to pour out my grace on you, so y'all can be the cleanup crowd. We're living in this time. There's still battles going on, even though the war's been won.
Yes.
Satan's been defeated. He has no ammunition unless he uses our own anointing.
Jesus.
He's broke.
Wow.
So his mode of operations is deception. He deceives you. He deceives me in working for him. I'm a double agent and don't even know it. Wow. How can he move through his exploits? Now, think about it. You came to change atmosphere. You must be who you came here to be, not who someone else wants you to be. Now, that one's huge. Now, I can't. Here's where we're going to approach this problem. Let's consider the fact this is this fallen nature in man to go around and tell everybody who they're supposed to be. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Has anybody got that one? I mean, I have. If you don't, I got extra. Well, trust
me.
It's in the fallen nature of man that we automatically, I mean, very seldom we come up to each other and say, you know, here's what I'm doing. I really need you to pray for me that I can correct this. We usually say, well, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so's doing, right? I think I need to go tell them what they need to be doing. There's just something in us. You say, well, they irritate the booger man out of me. Well, I understand that. I understand being irritated. But my point is, we want to help each other be who God has created us to be. That's the goal. So everybody can be who God sent us here to be. And I don't know who you need to be. But we want to create an atmosphere where you, if we were plants, we could all grow up in the sunshine of God and be who God has put us here to be. But my point there is the problem of people telling each other what and who they're supposed to be all the time. It's so counterproductive to hearing the voice of God. That's the reason I said in the beginning that, well, I said something with a mask. What did I say? If you find, I can't even remember it now. If you're craving attention from others, you don't know who you are. That's right. So it's in man to crave the attention. But it's also in man to give you attention.
Right.
But the wrong kind.
Right.
Now, I got to say all that to move forward. Understanding our atmosphere position, what do we do? Now, Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, we seek those things which are above, third heaven, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and you said, your what? Your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, affection is an outward working of passion.
Yep.
All right? Affection is an outward working of passion. Passion is the avenue in which the anointing of the kingdom of God flows through. But affection is that expression. Now, how many of you can say, I have lived up to my full potential? Okay. Since I have no hands, I will proceed. You do not operate in life based on what you know. You operate in life based on how you see yourself. Now, there again, the beginning. You got to know who you are in Christ. Because you operate in life on how you see yourself. So if everybody else is telling you this is who you are, that's how you see yourself, and you will operate life out of that. Did y'all just hear what I just said? I hope you did. I have a hard time repeating myself sometimes. It's like you get to floating in the spirit, and I, son of a gun. And I'm trying to do better at that. It's not a shine of great spirituality. It's a sign that I've been up since 3 o'clock. It's what it is now. You do not operate in life based on what you know. You operate in life based on how you see yourself. So it is very, 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 very important on how you see yourself. If somebody tells you you're a failure, you can't do nothing right, you can't do this, and you grow up, you're going to be in jail. Guess what? That's the way you see yourself, so you will live unto that. You will live unto how you see yourself. So the dark side is constantly trying to get you to see yourself in the direction it wants you to end up in. You can blame it on somebody else if you want to. You got to start seeing yourself a little different. Are you with me?
Yes.
Can you see how important it is to know who we are in Christ? It's just not a little passing thought. It's part of the transformation process. Now, you must have a larger vision of yourself. Come on. If you're going to go with this thing, Christ in you, or the hope of glory, you got to have a larger vision of yourself and what you got.
Yep. Come on.
Say, well, Alan, I'm not sure that I can do that. Yes, you can do that if you'll believe who you are. Who you've been created. Could you, don't you, just think a minute. The whole time we have all been on this planet, the dark side has, since we've been a child till now, has been constantly trying to tell us who we are not.
Yep.
Your life's been full of it. Who you're not. I was a BC student in high school. That's right. I was a BC student. I had a mother that told me I could do anything. If I could think it, I could do it. But I was a BC. I wasn't an A student. I had an English teacher told me, said, Alan, you're not college material. That's what my English teacher told me. I didn't go to college. Does that mean anything? Not really, because I had a mother constantly told me I could do anything if I could think it.
Yep.
Now, I think she might have overdone that a little, because I've tried to do some things that I could think, and I'm not so sure I should have.
Right.
But what my mother said had more weight than my English teacher. And I got this crazy idea that God's word should have more weight than my mother's.
Right.
Now, you must have a larger vision of yourself. If your vision of yourself is somewhat small, you do not know fully who you are in Christ. That's the reason I asked you, do you feel like you've lived up to your full potential? If the answer is no, your vision of yourself is not big enough. You're not getting quite who you really are in Christ. You are limiting yourself. Now, If the dark side cannot accomplish convincing you of who you're not through people, it'll do it through the spirit of fear. That's right. The spirit of fear is constantly telling you who you are not, or what will happen if you do.
Right. I know, man.
Huh?
Right.
That voice is there. The dark side's got all of its bases covered. God had one base, and it was called the cross of Christ, and it superseded all of the dark side's bases. So we must rise up into the heavenlies where the cross of Christ is. We got to touch home, and it supersedes everything the darkness has. That's the reason we're constantly taking who we're not at the cross, and we are exchanging who we're not for who we are in Him. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Who we are in Him. So you've got to have a larger vision of yourself. I know we all know our shortcomings. We don't need anybody else telling us. I know that. I'm the same way. When somebody else tells me my shortcomings, I knew it before they did. That's right. Perhaps that limits my vision of myself. So as we're looking, I'm just asking to do this. When, if you take that word vision, if you have a vision of yourself, and you put a D, I, in front of vision, what have you got? Division. If you cut a vision in half, you got a division. That house won't stand. Right? Now, what's the division? The division is of how you see yourself and how God sees yourself. That's the division. You got to give up how you see yourself over how God sees you. I'm not trying, I'm just telling you the truth. You say, well, Alan, this sounds impossible. Yeah, it is. It's the whole deal. It is impossible. But since I'm learning who I am, my Father says, who I am, that all things work together for good, them love the Lord. So that means that all of it's going to work.
Right.
When I come into alignment with God's vision of me. Well, our vision's too small.
Yes.
Now, you must see yourself worthy of who you are in your true position. Now, here's the big one. Most believers do not see themselves as worthy. There again, as long as you've been on the planet, there's been voices out here in life telling you that you're not worthy of something.
Yep.
We're all getting them. I don't care how strong you are.
Yep.
I don't care how big you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care anything. Life will beat you down.
Right.
Life will beat you down. Now, our only hope of exchange is to see our worthiness, our true worthiness. Now, our human nature tries to... Here, let me show you a disguise of the enemy. A disguise of the dark side is this. He gives you... embraces your pride. It's pride is a counterfeit of worthiness.
Wow.
All right? Pride is the counterfeit of worthiness. Understand true worthiness creates humbleness.
Wow.
When you truly know who you are in Christ, it creates more humility in your life. You just sit back. You don't have anything to prove.
That's right.
I don't need to say anything.
You're right.
I just need to stay quiet.
Yeah.
Why? I know who I am. I don't have to defend who I think I am.
That's right.
I know who I am. I'm convinced that I'm worthy because He says I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have replaced my vision of myself for His. He says we're worthy, church. Evidently, He sees something we don't because He died for us. My land. What was He thinking? We're worthy. We're worthy. God says we are worthy of Him dying to save us. Wow. Can I bring myself up to that level? You see, you're going to live life every how you see yourself. It is not pride to feel worthy.
Wow.
To feel worthy means you have fully accepted the cross of Christ.
Wow.
Come on.
Jesus.
To fully accept the cross of Christ, we feel worthy. Wow, that Jesus died for us. Wow. All of a sudden, our self-worth goes up. We see, we start living unto how we see ourselves. We must see ourselves properly. Now, you must see yourself worthy of who you are and your true position. If we see ourselves worthy, we will live unto that worthiness. Now, you will follow who you admire. Now watch this one. Right quickly. You will follow who you admire. In following Christ, you must be aware that you are in a state of continual becoming. Now I knew when I put this down, I was running a high risk of sounding like Ray. But it's just the way it comes. In following Christ, you must be aware that you are in a state of a continual becoming. You must see yourselves worthy of becoming. You see, you got, worthiness, it's got to be there. You got to have this self-worth. You are worthy of becoming who God says you are, not who somebody else says you are. Because somebody else will say who you are by who you're not.
Come on.
God says who you are. God says you're worthy.
That's right.
When we see ourselves as worthy, we start becoming.
Jesus.
Can you feel it?
Yes.
Someone else's opinion of you, good or bad, does not have to be your reality.
That's right. Wow.
You must pursue your becoming, for as you do, you are creating your reality. You must pursue your becoming, for as you do, you are creating your reality. Hungry to become. You've got to become hungry to become. You see, as you consider your worthiness in Christ Jesus, it causes you to be hungry. I've discovered over the years that when it's like, God, people aren't hungry. They don't see their value. They don't see their worthiness is in me. That I've given them, that I am, that it's there, that's been appropriated into the life.
Yes.
And then we find out that our own vision of ourselves is actually the culprit that's keeping us from having a larger vision of who we are.
Jesus.
And you operate out of that vision.
Jesus.
And then we have a division because we got this clashing of our vision with God's vision.
Jesus.
So God's vision's bigger. So we're actually going to say we got the larger vision.
Jesus.
Take on the vision that Christ died for you. Come on, somebody. That's pretty worthy. God gave all he had. Pretty high, don't you think?
Yes.
Can you not feel the clash in your soul of how we're not worthy? Understand that. But worthiness is celebrating the cross of Christ.
Jesus.
He didn't die for us to feel unworthy. He died so we would feel worthy of the kingdom of God. And it's through this worthiness that we become the sons of God.
Jesus.
Look out, world. Look out, world. Because we're becoming the sons of God. Wow. Can anybody feel it or is it just me?
Come on.
Now, you must have reasons to become. Wow, I'm give out right there. I'm give out. And I got to preach next time, that my preacher. Yeah, just remember that becoming. Okay. Y'all going to have to pray hard. You must have reasons to become. Now, let's go right here a minute. The battle that's within our souls, the battles that's within our minds, the vision, our becoming, the vision of God. God has a vision for us collectively as a church. Together. Prophetically, it's been spoken. This would be a healing center, I think, Pastor, isn't that right? It'd be a healing center. Healing covers a lot of avenues. For us to be ministers of God's vision for this place, for New Life, just, or in other churches, We have to consider that we're worthy to dispense or to give out the kingdom of God. You see, there's a huge block. If you don't think you're worthy to receive, you won't receive. The quarterback's not going to throw a football to someone that he thinks is going to drop it. The receiver's got to have great confidence that he's going to receive what is being passed to him.
Right.
The kingdom of God. We have one foot in heaven, one on the earth. Heaven literally wants to send spiritual things to the earth.
Wow.
He's looking for a people that understands who they are. In Christ Jesus. We are worthy to receive anything heaven will throw our way.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that He won't make you peculiar. I'm trying to stay biblical here. Heaven to this earth. One of the signs that the kingdom of God is here, according to the scriptures, is that we cast out demons.
Yep.
Don't like that scripture. Try to get away from it and get around it.
Yep.
Anybody else too? Does it make you a little nervous when I just said that?
A little bit.
Did me.
Yep.
I'm like, God, what are you doing? There's different signs that the kingdom is among us. Now, part of casting out of demons out of all of us, you can say, Alan, is it in us? Is it outside of us? Where? I don't care.
Right.
The demonic, the demons, the casting out of darkness is the very fact of the dark side trying to tell us who we are.
Yes.
So I'm in the process of trying to cast out demons this morning. Demons of the mind.
Yes.
Demons of our vision.
Jesus.
The dark side has implanted. Demons might be gone, but they've planted their seeds.
Yes.
We want to eradicate all of that. That we would become a people of God. And this people of God sees themselves worthy to carry the kingdom of God and dispense it to a lost and dying world that's in need.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, I started this part off with, you follow who you admire. Our passion tells us who we admire. Our passion is the conduit in which the anointing flows. My question to you this morning is to check your passion.
Yes, good.
Check your passion. Understand now that sin is trying to take over your passion. Your passion is where the supernatural flows. When you are operating that passion through darkness, darkness will multiply. That's right. It'll multiply. When our passion is spent on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God will multiply. Misdirected passion. Misdirected passion. Misdirected passion. Would you not, wow, would you not just one time like to be in a place of God's people? All of our passions were the same. I know when I was in a revival with Jeff Rowland, he had one thing over the door. We didn't know how dangerous it really was. We're looking back. Me and him were talking about it the other day, and on how dangerous it was when we made this statement. It was over the door, and over the door it said, "Enter this place and let God be God." And he took us up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. When God is being God and when God's people know who they are and they're worthy to walk with God, can you hear me?
Yeah.
When we know we're worthy to walk with Him, It's that knowing we're worthy in Him that causes the boldness. And God's going to be God. Can you imagine? During that outpouring, we probably did everything wrong. A lot of it I know we did wrong. But you got to understand, God made all of it work out right. I told Jeff one time, I said, Jeff, I believe you could preach a phone book and people would get saved. It was amazing. You couldn't do it wrong. It's because God's people was worthy of the kingdom. God's kingdom was being poured out. And God was being God. And I'll be honest with you. Scared the bejeebies out of us. But God was being God. People got healed. People got saved. You couldn't run people out of the church house. We'd start having church on Sunday morning and wouldn't leave till 1 or 2 o'clock that night. Isn't that right? You couldn't run them away from that place. I don't know why I'm saying all that. Alan, shut up. Good grief, shut your mouth. Lord Jesus, be with us this day. We love you, O God. And it's our prayer, O God, that this day that you have made, dear God, we pray that you will have a place. And I know there's other churches, dear God, but dear God, this place, we want to set aside that this is your place. We want God to be God. Help us to be your people. And dear God, let lives be changed and your presence of your kingdom be expanded on this planet because we were here and we said yes to you. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.